Well, it's pretty interesting that persistence of a recession is a psychological matter. Well, if you were going to try to apply psychology to the oil markets, maybe schizophrenia is the word you would use. Remember the predictions that we'd soon see $200 a barrel oil? Those were the old days. Crude prices fell below $70 a barrel yesterday for the first time in 14 months. That's a 50% decline in value from just 3 months ago. OPEC members decided yesterday to hold an emergency meeting next week in Vienna to figure out how to defend their price from this what looks like a crash. To figure out what all this means for the economy, we're talking to New York Times reporter Jad Mouad. Jad, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
And, you know, this is an unprecedented sell-off over a three-month period. 50% decline is pretty amazing. What can OPEC do to stop this decline?
Well, I mean, you know, the OPEC producers are really starting to get, you know, awfully anxious. Just last week, they had scheduled an emergency meeting for next month. And yesterday, when we saw the prices fall under $70, they said, hang on a minute, we need to meet immediately. And they rescheduled, if you will, this emergency meeting for next week. You know, their tools are fairly limited, if you will. The only thing they can really do to try to stop this decline is to reduce their own production in the hope that they can take enough barrels out of the market to slow down the decline in prices. Their problem, though, is that what they're facing here is a falling market. In terms of oil consumption, they're facing, you know, less demand throughout the industrial nations for their product. So it's going to be awfully difficult for OPEC to take out enough barrels from the market to make up for the decline in consumption.
How do we gauge that decline in demand? I mean, you know, if it's really true that the world's demand for oil has dropped by half, I mean, if that's, you know, roughly correlated with the price, I mean, what does that mean in industrial terms? I mean, that's really draconian.
Right. Well, it's not actually. It's the demand and the price aren't really correlated. You mentioned the term schizophrenic to start off, and I think it's pretty apt. The demand has really fallen in industrialized nations. So we had gasoline, you know, consumption in the U.S., for example, dropped by 10% last week compared with the week with the same time last year. In August, Japanese oil consumption fell by 12%. Same in France and other European countries. So you have a very sharp drop off in rich countries. The picture is a little bit more mixed in the developing world, in China and the Middle East, where oil consumption is still growing. The big question this year is going to be, are we going to have a net growth in global oil consumption, or are we going to have a decline in global oil consumption? And so, you know, a decline would be quite dramatic in net oil consumption, and a lot of analysts are actually forecasting that. At minimum, a lot of people are forecasting very weak demand growth both this year and next year.
But the threshold here that you point out, I want to just sort of focus on for a moment, is whether India's and China's growing demand is more to outstrip declining demand elsewhere, or if it just sort of gets buried in the declining demand elessewhere. That's really
the issue.
I mean, four months ago, people were saying it's impossible for any cut in demand in Europe and the United States to put a dent in the Chinese demand, which is insatiable. Now that's a question mark.
Right. That's exactly it. And if you remember, you mentioned those $200 forecasts. Well, the same analysts that had forecast $200 just a few months ago have cut their forecast to $50. You know, in the short to medium term for oil prices, because they're also revising down their demand numbers globally. So
Jed, you and I, if you and I had to make a correction like that in our careers, we would be fired.
And I was just going to say, that sounds surreal, Jad, to go from $200 to $50. It just doesn't seem possible.
Well, I'm not going to sort of speak for the analysts, but, you know, that said, a lot has happened in the past month, and I think if anyone could have forecast, you know, the severity of the financial meltdown and the knock-on effect on the real economy, as per your last speaker, are we in a recession or not yet? It's still an open question. I mean, but you're right. I mean, you know, it's a massive revision, and you know, there was an element of sort of a speculative bubble in commodity markets that, quite frankly, a lot of analysts kind of followed you know, up through the summer. So,
I mean, John, I think it's safe to say that this is something Ron Paul will have to deal with when he's president, right, John? Talking about unforeseen circumstances. Jad Mouad, New York Times reporter who covers the energy industry for the New York Times. Thanks for joining us, Jad.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.